Thank you for joining Asia's best radio station.
Download latest podcasts of Carry On Harry Show on iTunes.
Now shake hands with celebrities on Singapore talk show, Carry On Harry.
Inviting music composers, producers, artists on board on Carry On Harry talk show for connecting you to worldwide audience. Write to Harry Johal at carryonharry.com or visit www.carryonharry.com for more details.
Hi friends, welcome to yet another episode of Carry On Harry Talk Show with your talk show host Harry Johal. Today we are going to invite Clyde Riddlebrute on our talk show to talk and discuss about the challenges of running the touring theatre company in today's time when electronic media has taken over, be it television or be it internet. There's so much of entertainment available nowadays. But to stay connected with live performances amidst the masses is something, you know, which is very unique and challenging. So we are going to invite Clyde today and we'll be discussing these challenges, how they are coping up with this kind of pressure. And running a theatre company for past 15-20 years is not an easy job. So we are going to get a lot of inspiring thoughts from our guest today. And of course, he's also going to share with us some stories about running this theatre company. So let's get in connection with him in New Jersey and get to know more about his life, his experiences, and a lot of things that he would love to share with us.
Hello there.
Hi, Ryan. How are you doing?
Very good, sir. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's always a pleasure, you know, somebody, you know, connected with the world of arts, you know, always there to come up with something new about, you know, happening around. So since you are running a theater company, so I'm really excited to get you on my show.
Oh, well, definitely. Thank you. Well, let me know. I mean, let me know if you have any basic itinerary or any topics that you'd like me to kind of focus on more than others. Are you going to record at a certain point or right now?
Yeah, basically, the first thing that, you know, I will be keen to know is, you know, running a theater company in today's time is really a tough job because since there are a lot of other avenues of, you know, entertainment nowadays because of the, you know, inflow of the electronic media. So I'm very much sure that it's not like a very smooth ride. So some things about those aspects, and then, you know, the backbone of any theater company is the actors or the performers they are associated with. So how easy or difficult is it to hire those kind of professionals who can really deliver out what is expected from a company? And since you have been running it from your very, very long time, from your father's time, so I'm very much sure you must be having some good stories also to share with us.
Definitely. I definitely have plenty of stories I could tell you about that kind of thing.
Fine. So basically around those things, let it be light and easy and at the same time a little bit entertaining and, you know, getting some information for people to understand, like, what are the things, you know, that they really need to, you know, come forward and support people like you who are still, you know, in the field of, you know, real performing art. Is not digitally, you know, pre-recorded. It's something which is live.
Certainly. I can definitely focus on that type of content. No problem.
Correct. So let's begin the things, Ryan, since you are already here and, you know, I'm really excited that somebody from the world of theatre company has come to us, you know, to share with us some good stories and, you know, challenges, day-to-day challenges of, you know, running up a theatre company in today's time when, you know, electronic media has so much developed. So I would like to, you know more about you first before we really, you know, touch the theme of, you know, your theater company.
Sure. Well, certainly my name is Clyde P. Riddlesbrood, and I'm the owner of the Riddlesbrood Touring Theater Company. We started back in 2000, the turn of the century, is like we like to say right now, but about 15 years ago. So in that time, we have performed over 1,500 shows at hundreds of different locations all over New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, and Delaware, and even a few that are farther afield than that. Some of the things that make our company and the way we do things a little bit unique is we do a lot of dinner theater shows, a lot of murder mystery shows, as well as large-scale performances. And that means that our actors have to do a lot of improvisation. They have to really have that ability to participate with the audience. So they'll walk around the crowd and they'll get people involved on a one-to-one relationship. So that's one of the things that has differentiated our company from some of the other theater companies out there. But, you know, you mentioned a very interesting point that I just wanted to touch on. And that's where you said that we're living in an age of the internet and apps on people's phones, and TV and movies have been out for a long time. But you're right, it is a very challenging world right now because people can get their entertainment in any number of ways. So it's definitely a unique environment right now to have a theater company.
Correct. And since you mentioned that, you know, you have been in you know, this performing arts for last 15 years, touching about your own passion, were you really passionate to run it as a business, or were you passionate more towards, you know, staying in connected with, you know, performing arts? Did you really, you know, had those kind of interests since the early age that you really wanted to, you know, do something for the performing arts?
Well, you know what? Not quite. Now, I had an advantage in that I grew up in the entertainment business. My mother, she sings jazz, and she's very involved in the jazz scene in Philadelphia. She's been involved in entertainment, and she also does some shows when I was growing up. And my father owned a dinner theater in Cape May, New Jersey, since the early 90s. So I grew up, you know, surrounded by that kind of theater. But actually, I wanted to become, when I went to college, I actually wanted to become an archaeologist. So very different. Yeah, very different than theater. But when I got out of school, I started getting back into it again, and I just kind of fell in love with the craft, which I'm sure a lot of people do. There is something special about performing arts because, you know, you can watch a movie, you can watch TV, but to have that personal interaction, that actor right in front of you performing, and you can feel their energy and their presence, you know, that's something that you can't get digitally, at least not yet. So that gives you a real rush as a performer. So I did that for many years. And the reason why I decided to start my own company was really because I felt that I could do it better. I felt that theater at that time, and this is in the late 90s, I felt that theater was kind of stagnating. It was becoming boring. The senior audience that had enjoyed it were getting older and dying off, and the theater was not really reflecting the general culture anymore. So I really wanted to create something new and exciting, and that's really the reason why I got into creating my own company.
Correct. Over the years, since 15 years is the time, you know, when you have been, you know, taken the reins of the Riddle Brood Touring Theatre Company in your hand. When you are planning to, you know, come up with some new performances, definitely, you know, you have to be involved somewhere in the creative aspects of the things, you know, programs that are to be delivered to the audience. So normally, what sort of brainstorming session do you really go through, you know, before you really decide about, okay, these are the new programs that, you know, we'll be, you know, showcasing for our upcoming events? What is that process like?
Well, I would say the very first important thing is to know that Riddle's Brood is unique and that we do pretty much all original shows. Hmm. Most theater companies choose shows that have already been written, classics, things like, you know, the Disney style type of things like Beauty and the Beast, and, you know, Shrek is very popular right now, Spamalot. People will take a lot of these shows from Broadway, even some of the old ones like Music Man and A Chorus Line. These are very popular American shows that most theater companies will do. We're a little bit different, and what we do is all original shows. And as far as brainstorming, the very first question we ask ourselves is, what do we want to say, and what does the audience want to hear? That sounds like, you know, like a no-brainer. But the reality is not everybody starts off from that position. So why bother to create a show that no one wants to see? And also, why bother to create or write a show if you have nothing important to say? So those are the two first very important things that we would say. A little interesting story is earlier this spring, we had done a show that we called Harkin, and it was extremely exciting, and we had planned that for over a year. And the reason why we decided to create this project is we wanted to create a show that would be fun for teenagers and young 20-somethings and even young 30-somethings that grew up with technology. So we said to ourselves, you know, if you were 25-year-old and you grew up with computers and you had a smartphone and you really were savvy with that kind of technology, what kind of show would you like to watch? And what we struck upon is the idea to have a show that actually incorporates that technology, where they could interact with the show similarly to how you might interact with a video game. So in this show that we created, the show is very unique in that it completely is different every time you see it, because the audience has an app on their phone that they download before they see the show, and then they actually, during the performance, vote and select different options throughout the show that steer the action in one way or another. So that would be a great example of what I would consider something that's responsive to the market, something that takes into account what people want and trying to create a product that fits their needs.
Correct. I think it's a wonderful idea, you know, the way, you are, trying to judge what the audience really want to, see. Over the years, what sort of change of, taste of audience you have observed since, nowadays we are more exposed to the digital sorts of entertainment where, vast variety of things are available on YouTube. And since your touring company is performing in different parts of United States, you come across varied tastes of audiences. So normally, tell me, like, how what is your analysis about the changing taste over the years in the minds of youngsters and old?
Well, obviously, what you say is correct. I mean, there's YouTube. There's lots of different ways to digest content, whether you're just looking at a website with a video on it, or you're literally just looking at a YouTube videos and watching it, or even video games, or people with Vimeo, or a lot of these kind of things. Even I believe Redbox has even something that you can have an app and watch movies. So people are now used to devouring this content in this new digital way. However, there's something interesting in that, and that is that there's what I call kind of the static problem. And what I mean by that is static electricity and static on your TV. People are bombarded with so much stuff every day that they become kind of numb to what they see. And so it's kind of hard for them to differentiate yourself with digital media. However, live performance art like theater is unique. And the reason why it's unique is because you can't hide from the actor in many ways. Like, you can sit there with your phone and watch a video and pause it at your will.
Correct.
And stop watching. But a performer, they'll walk right off the stage and go, "Hey, how you doing, buddy? Nice to see you. Having fun tonight?" I mean, it's very, very interactive. And, I'm going to take a leap and go into the metaphysical a little bit, but if you're the type of person that believes in spirituality or the soul or anything like that, a lot of actors will tell you that there's an energy that is difficult to describe. Maybe science can't describe it yet. But when you're on stage, you can feel the presence of that actor and that audience. And that is something that is really not replicatable digitally, right? I mean, when an actor is standing up there and they are sweating and jumping and laughing and yelling, and you can feel their personality literally beaming off of them and the audience is smothered in that energy. That is an experience that is unique to live performance. You just can't get that any other way.
Correct. Over here, I would like to add up that right now we are talking to Clyde Riddlesbrood. He's running a theater company in New York, the Riddlesbrood Touring Theater Company, and we are currently talking with Clyde and getting to know like what are the experiences that he has seen over the years, because in today's time, running up a theater company with live performances, with live actors, so many things can go wrong in live event, but it really takes a lot of patience and it really takes a lot of guts to, you know, produce those kind of shows and entertain the masses. And since we are now more and more used to digital format of entertaining ourselves, but the experience of a live show is something different. That's what Clyde is sharing with us. Clyde, for you as the owner of the Riddles Touring Theatre Company, what sort of challenges you really face, you know, apart from, you know, arranging the shows and, you know, getting your actors on board and, you know, having a proper storyboard to, you know, entertain them? What are the other aspects of, you know, theatre company which are sometimes challenging for you to handle?
Well, I would say by far the most challenging thing would be advertising, and that'll probably be something that any theater will tell you. Before you can have an audience, people need to know about your show, and they need to know that you're doing entertainment. So advertising to those customers is probably the biggest challenge that any performance organization has. And you can do that in many different ways. One way is to just kind of have a very good community of followers and people that kind of, you know, like your page and really keep track of watching the things that you do. And if you're really kind of striking a chord and hitting that audience in the right way, you know, they'll want to come back again and see the next cool thing that you're doing, especially if it's different than other shows. So getting an audience is still probably the biggest thing. And technology and Google and search engines and all have made that easier and harder at the same time. So I would say that's definitely the biggest challenge.
Correct. You see, any business, if we talk about, they definitely have some kind of a vision ahead, you know, to take the things forward. But in your kind of a business, you know, it can be, you know, changed any because the posing challenges from, you know, TV or, you know, from internet is every day. So in that scenario, there must be times, you know, when you have to really, you know, play up with your, you know, strategies to, you know, keep the audience hooked on to, you know, watching the live things. So normally, how do you cope up with those kind of strategies? Do you have a planning team or do you have to handle everything of your own? What is the, you know, the thinking bank of the Riddlesbrood Touring Theatre Company?
Well, you know, I pretty much make most of the decisions as the executive, but we do have a kind of like an unofficial board, you might say. We call it the Riddlesbrood Court, and it's made up of several individuals that we meet quarterly, and we do talk about some basic things on how to improve recruitment. So we do make some different decisions that way, but for the most part, it's a privately held company, so I pretty much call the shots that way. That being said, again, the nature of our theater is very improvisational. So the shows that we do tend to be really, instead of a script in the normal sense, it's really more of a framework. And the actors are highly skilled improv people that, you know, have done lots and hundreds of shows. We make sure we pick people that really have that ability and that skill to jump beyond the lines and really come up with content on their own that enriches the show. So I would say at the very least 40% of our shows are generated literally by the actors themselves while they actually perform. So it's collaborative in that way.
And in terms of your own community of, you know, other theater companies, do you have a stiff competition in United States? Because since we are talking from Singapore, so I'm not very much aware about the market down over there in terms of, you know, competition. Would you like to enlighten us about that aspect also?
Well, when it comes to competition, honestly, most of the competition that we have, like you described, is kind of indifference. So people that are not used to watching live shows and they don't know about it, they need to be brought in first to experience one. So it's kind of like if you've never tasted chocolate, you know, you got to take a bite of it, and then you're like, oh, I like this. But we have to try to get them to take that first bite. And then they usually realize, oh, wow, this is a totally different experience and something really cool and fun and so much more energetic than just watching a screen. So that's probably, as far as competition goes, I mean, we spend most of our time on, you know, search engine optimization and things of that nature. But really, there's not too many competitors in this area that do exactly what we do. And again, we try to be very different to try to break out from the rest of the crowd to make ourselves seem very unique in the marketplace. So I wouldn't say we have really a lot of competition that does what we do.
Fine. I think, it's quite, interesting to, talk with you, and getting to know more about the operational aspect of a theater company, the challenges that are being posed. Right now, if, let's say, I ask you about, your next 3 years plans for taking your theater company ahead, have you already strategized about it, or you take it as it comes?
Well, I mean, there's a little bit of both of that. I mean, we always have like a five-year plan, and we certainly have a vision about where we'd like the company to be. Right now, we're mostly a company that's on the Northeast. You know, we work in New Jersey, New York, and that surrounding Delaware Valley area. Occasionally, we do shows that are farther away, but they tend to be somewhat cost prohibitive the further away you are. So we're trying to upscale our shows so that they're of a larger level, so we can actually be hired by more colleges and other theaters around the country. I know it is our vision to one day be more international. We'd like to be able to get some, Asia or Europe or, any areas. We'd love to be able to travel internationally and try to get more, work that way rather than just so local. So it would be nice to bring what we do to a broader marketplace. And that's part of what we're trying to do.
Fine. Right now, I would love to encourage my listeners that do pay a visit to riddlesbrewed.com. And right now, we are in talks with Clyde Riddlebrewed, who is running a theater company in New York. And he's sharing with us a few experiences about running up a touring company. Clyde, I am on your website, riddlesbrewed.com, and I can see that there is a section called auditions. So tell me, like, those artists, in your area or in US, where my lot of audience do come from, if they really are keen to join up a theater company like yours, what is the criteria? Like, do you give breaks to new artists?
Well, we have actually kind of two tiers. Some of the shows that we do would fall into the community theater category, and those are more, local actors and people that are not really professionals per se. They may or may not have a lot of talent, but they're not working in the industry. They have other jobs. So usually they'll come in and do some of these community theater shows, and we kind of see how they do in that. And if they do well, and we find that they have a lot of talent and a lot of ambition, a lot of drive, enthusiasm, then we usually invite them into the touring company. And the touring company is the much more vibrant, I guess you'd say, energetic and improvisationally based troupe. So there is kind of like a selection process. And, being a good actor in improv is kind of unusual in that it's completely merit-based. You can't fake it. If you have talent, you never had to take a day of school. You don't have to read. You could be, horribly uneducated, but you could be a brilliant performer. and on the other side, somebody could go get their master's degree in theater and at the end of the day still really not be very good. So it's hard to hide your talent. That being said, those few actors that are both naturally talented and train themselves, they really have a massive advantage, and those are the individuals that we try to find.
Correct. And right now, what are the, you know, some of the hit shows that you are producing? Would you like to enlighten my audience about this?
Sure. There's a couple things that we're doing right now. The one that we're getting ready to do, if any of your listeners want to jump on a plane and fly from Singapore all the way over here to New Jersey. But one of the things we're doing for this Halloween, which is at the end of October, is Frankenstein Rocks, which is kind of like a fun rock and roll Frankenstein show. It's got a lot of great lights and special effects, and it's a lot of fun, very funny. And then we're doing A Christmas Carol this December, which is that old traditional favorite. Besides that, we're also doing our Harkin show, which is that fantasy role-playing adventure show that allows the audience to use their smartphone app to actually play along with the actors and help guide the show. It's a lot of fun. It's very exciting, and people always leave with a big smile on their face. So take a look at the website. Take a look at our Facebook page, and you'll see a lot of fun things happening here.
Well, in a way, it was quite, you know, a lovely experience for me, you know, to invite you on my show. And we have shot two short videos, you know, for our discussion, which I've already posted on my website. And even after the show, you can have a look at them. I've just added you on my Facebook as well. But any final message that you would love to share with the listeners of Karen Harry Talk Show today before we end today's show? You know, sometimes there are feelings within our heart that, you know, oh, I wish the talk show host would have asked me, you know, that aspect of, you know, the things. Anything that you would love to share with the listeners?
Yeah, I say if there's something that you want to do in this life, do it. If there's a dream that you have, act on it, make it happen, keep pushing and don't stop, and it'll succeed. I never thought that I'd ever get to where I'm at right now, but, you know, it can happen. Just don't stop, don't quit, and never give up.
Thank you for being in tune with Best Talk Show, Carry On Harry, with entertainment editor Harry Johel on BalaBalaRadio.co.uk. Inviting music composers, producers, artists on board on Carry On Harry Talk Show for connecting you to worldwide audience. Write to Harry Johal at carryonharry.com or visit www.carryonharry.com for more details.